Father, we just want to release grace to Pete today because he was obedient yesterday. And today he has a word in his heart for each of us. And let us have ears to hear and a heart to understand what the Spirit is saying to us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I have a question for you, Kim. Was that prayer on the way to the hospital or after you left?
On the way.
Amazing, huh?
Yes.
Long time. That was for me personally. It takes a long time for me sometimes to learn a lesson. 10-20 times with a sledgehammer upside the head, I usually get it. With the headache. Had a real interesting week this last week, and I know that was it Tuesday or Sunday where you gave your message on fasting the thoughts?
Tuesday.
Well, there seems to be a theme. Again, yesterday I had to go up to Wing Memorial. My mother was up there. She has been since transferred to Park, which is Park Hospital in Springfield, which used to be the old Mercy Hospital.
Yeah.
That lady has now come full circle. That was the last place she worked. Yeah.
That used to be Municipal Hospital. It's on State Street.
I don't know what it's a.
The rehab, right?
No, it's a hospital.
There's a hospital called Park on State Street that used to be Municipal Hospital.
I don't know where it was, Gail. I just.
Yeah, I think they used to be the Municipal. That's the one.
Yeah.
I've got. I just know that wherever she is going to, where she's at now, she used to work there. She got injured there. And she couldn't work because of that. But I don't know how I'm going to bring this about. I had much time yesterday to think while I was at the hospital. And I had to do some running for my mother to intercede for her. She's diabetic. And the first place she was going to go to, every time she goes there, they put her on this diabetic diet, which I get a call usually about an hour after she has recovered and said, well, the blood sugar got down around 20. No one will listen that I don't need to be on that diet. So I went out to the hallway to talk with the doctor to make sure if she was going to this place. No diabetic diet. And I look across the hall, and who do I see? So we, long story short, we had exchanged quick hellos. He went and saw mom, then he went back to his mom. I went to leave the hospital. Now I'm telling you all this so that way you have an idea how God can orchestrate things. I leave the hospital, I go down to the car, and I'm thanking God I'm finally out of the hospital and out of the situation because I had other things that need to go on that day. Mom was taken care of, everything was fine. Get in my car, get my keys. Mom's keys. Back into the hospital. So then I give her her keys, and I say, okay, I'm going to go. So I'm getting ready to leave, and the Lord says, no, go over and seek him. Tell him you're going to go home and take communion for him, his wife, and mom. So I did that. Now, that's okay in itself. So it was real. I tried to make it as quick as I could in between what they were doing. I leave the hospital. I get to the elevator. I push the button. Up comes the elevator. Door opens up. I'm there. Off we go. Lord says, no, go back and see Kim again. And I'm like, couldn't do this while I was there, huh? No, you weren't listening. Get back over. He's not saying nothing until I get to the door. He says, tell him you're going to take tomorrow because he's got too much on his mind, basically. So I was nice about it, and I asked him. He said, I'll call you. And I says, no. I'm going to get in the word. You take tomorrow off. So I go back to the elevator. I push the button. This time I stood there with my hand on the door so it wouldn't close, just in case. I got out. I ended up fulfilling the commitment. How many of you remember Alan Thrasher, the gentleman from Munson? Used to date Jessica, Army National Guard.
Yeah.
He came back from Iraq last week. It was his party. And Mary and I have been, he adopted us as secondary parents. By the way, one Tuesday night he will be coming by to say hello and thank you all for the prayers. Dad has this wonderful little thing that he does every July. And it's a 4th of July party. And it was, Alan was sitting down talking with me, and he's talking to some relatives about, he was in Fallujah, by the way. That's where he was policing. For those of you that don't know, that was the roughest part of Iraq. He said in the time that he was there, two people, the whole city, said, America good. The rest of them said, if they were looking at us with guns, we would be dead. Didn't want us there. And I could see in his face that he was glad to be home. And it didn't dawn on me, and I'm so sorry that I didn't get to warn him a little bit sooner, but here comes Dad. He's going to start a 4th of July ceremony, and Alan doesn't see him. Puts down the fireworks, lights them, starts walking away, and Alan's talking, and I'm like, Alan, and as soon as I said that, off goes the string. He starts to move. I grabbed him. He looked in my eyes, and I could see his eyes just shaking as these things are shoo, behind him. And I looked at him, and I said, welcome home. And he said, thank you. I told Dad to warn me. He forgot. The rest of the night, he was fine because he made sure he kept his eyes on Dad. Because some of the stuff that went off, it was a good fireworks show. People noted that it was probably better than the one that they had in Munson earlier. It was sounded like mortars going off in that backyard. But the point is that I watched this young man who the year before would have been jumping for joy over that, cringing just for a second. So I'm sitting there and I'm like, Lord, you know, all this is fine and dandy, but what message? What do you want me to bring tomorrow? I'm sitting here watching this young man, watching the people. And what am I getting for a message? Nothing. And all I hear is, you know, like he's, don't worry about it. You'll be all right. Yeah, I'll be all right. I'm prior military. I mean, getting up in front of a bunch of people and speaking is not the best thing in the world for anybody. Most people don't like it. But to get up unprepared is even worse. But while sitting here, the Lord gave me a topic. And I hadn't seen Mike when I first immediately walked in. I saw him, but I didn't. I'm thinking to myself, what am I going to do here? You know, here we are. We're getting ready. It's zero time. So you're deploying when?
I'm going to be deploying the 15th of 17th, this month.
This month. And this young lady next to you is obviously very special, right?
Definitely.
You didn't listen to the Marine Corps, young lady. You know what the standing thing in the Air Force and the Marines is? If we want you to have a girlfriend, we'll issue you one. But I wouldn't want what they'd issue. You seem to be a very nice young lady, and congratulations on meeting this young man. So the topic is kind of good. Two brand new Christians. And one of them is going to be stretched right now with her faith. With her man disappearing for how long, sir?
7.5 months.
7.5 months. See, right now, but he probably has already told you, my wife and I have our son over there right now fighting. He's a Marine. Comes back in October, God willing. And God willing, it will not be earlier. The only advice I give you is this, and I tell you this because it leads into what I'm going to speak here. As long as you don't hear nothing, everything's fine. Don't worry. Don't let thoughts come into your head. Don't let them bother you. Isn't that what I tell you? She's like, I haven't heard from him. And I said, but you haven't heard from his wife either. So all is well.
Amen.
All is well. So, with that, we are going to... Oh, don't go up there. That was last week's. We're going to go to Philippians 4:7. I don't know if I'm going to have you read or not, Gail, but stand in the ready.
Okay.
Philippians 4:7. Okay, yeah, this is where I want to be. 4:7. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, the heart is our spirit, not just our blood pump, as we all know. In our minds, we know what that is. God knows we have enough trouble with it every day. And you've been born again for 40 years, ma'am?
40.
How long have you been born again, Kim?
Since 1966.
1966.
Excuse me, 67.
We were 5 years old.
Yeah. Right.
So that means 43 years.
Yeah.
I have been born again since February of 1983. And I know that one of the areas I still have trouble with is my mind. The Word of God says something, my mind says something else. What do you go through? You have to struggle with it. You have to fight with it, right? Wrong. Now, the Word of God is specific. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You place your focus on the Christ and stay there. Then the thought comes in that, well, during the first war that we had to deal with over there, Mary's youngest brother was right on the front lines as a Marine. He was, Matt was intel, wasn't he, just like Jessica? So if he was going to go, he's going to be rear echelon dealing with the with intel and passing it up. But a Marine's first job is infantry. You're going over to Saudi Arabia. You go in there as an infantryman. Well, that's okay. Except where he ended up was the only place where the Imperial Guard attacked. Now again, God has his ways about him. At the time I was stationed in Colorado. I came home when we attacked. 5 o'clock Colorado time is when it kicked off, and I knew this. She's like, Pete, quit playing with that model and get over here. Something going on. I says, I don't have to go over. Pete, come here. Mary, just watch the news and believe what they tell you. Then she looked over. She said, we're at war now, aren't we? I said, yeah, we have attacked. And we're not going to stop until we get him out of Kuwait. The next words out of her mouth was, what about my brother? Said, your brother's a Marine. What do you think? And he's in the front lines. I said, I can't go any further. I knew at that time, because where I was stationed, it was an air attack for a couple of months on end. I knew that he was not going to be pushed forward. But I could not tell her that. And the orchestration is, you know, I'm like, what did I tell you? I can't tell you. Seek God. That's all I can tell you. See, God can tell you anything because he's not bound by restriction of the United States government. We're in the middle of upgrading our power plant. I produced electricity. The power plant was torn to shreds. There was nothing in there. And we had a part of the mission. That's all I can say. We had a part of the mission over there. We were sitting down, Well, he's my brother. He was my brother at the time, BJ. And the power plant is totally disabled. We have a couple of portable generators outside, and the lights flicker. And he's looking at me, and I says, this isn't good. Lights flickering, mean we're going to lose commercial power. He'd never been in a standby plant before I had. We lost power.
I'm not going to get into all the details of what took place, but the equipment that we had at the time at this site, the power went out, you had 15 minutes to restore power. Otherwise, you lost all the computers. The mission was gone. We were battling getting power back from 5:05 until 8:35. Why do I remember it? Because that's the night that I got frostbite. That's the night that I learned how to repent as I was cussing at my bosses. The end result was we never lost the mission. The computers never crashed. We managed to keep the batteries charged long enough that when the site went down again, we were able to recover. Just a quick bit of background, they'd never tested the generators at what they call reactive load, which means lights on, motors on, pumps on, turn them off, do this, do that. They did inductive tests, which meant they just ran them at a set rate and that was it for 6 hours, they're going to do it. They didn't. Mission was not lost. And Colonel came in and said, I want to know who was on duty when this happened. I want to know who's at fault. And everyone was happy. I came in to point to myself, my brother, and this guy that worked in my store. I want those two, or those three, he said, you three are the responsible parties. Yes, sir. You were on duty when this thing crashed. Yes, sir. Put him in for meritorious service award. We never lost the mission. And they saved a lot of Marine lives because it was during the attack. That her brother was over there. And I was sitting in Colorado.
Orchestration of God. What are the odds? My boss sat there and said, I'm glad I had my two best power plant operators on that night, or we would have lost it. Now, to get back to thoughts, if he can protect her brother in Saudi Arabia by using her husband in Colorado, is he going to be able to protect you? You, Bob? Hi, Mike. What do you think? Now, your name is what, Vanessa? Okay, I'm trying to... I know faces, you know. And you think he'll be able to keep an eye on him? I know he's going to keep an eye on you and both of you. Because he would keep an eye on every one of us as if we were the last ones on Earth.
Amen.
And that's a fact. The guarding the thoughts of your minds. Okay, we'll go down to the 8. And, you know, see here. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. That is the key. When we're sitting there and we're thinking about, as we're driving down the road, oh, I love this example because I jokingly do this all the time. Now, I know this never happens to anybody else out there, so I'm just going to cut right to the chase. There you are. You're at the gas station. You're pumping up. And you're looking out there, and there's not one car going by, is there? You go in. You pay. You chat with the clerk. There's no traffic. As soon as you pull your car out, what happens? There is traffic everywhere. And there's space just enough so you cannot get out. If you have to make that left-hand turn, there's space this way, and this lane's empty, here comes the other side. Now, the words I always heard from somebody in my family was, only me, this always only happens to me. What do you think happened every time we wanted to get somewhere? Things got spaced just perfectly.
And the reason why I bring that up is because instead of thinking about, okay, why don't I just make the right-hand turn around and come back? Sometimes it's easier. But because we're so flexible, we decide, no, we're going to do it our way. We are going to go left, irregardless. It took me 30 years to just go right. I'd do it with a bicycle when I was a kid. I'm going to go that way. I'm going to beat it. Not knowing what was going on up here. I have watched wrong thoughts take a strong, healthy woman and bring her to the point to where it is extremely hard to be in her presence. Her thoughts, hear them, gone. And still, everybody is against her. Forgiveness for certain individuals in her life. Her attitude is hard. This woman is a professing Christian. I have seen firsthand the destructiveness of this scripture. So I can say that when you get over there, young man, you're in that fight. It's like, my God, am I going to make it? Why do we always seem to get in this pickle? You don't. Remember the words of Christ. I am with you. There's nothing that can come against you. He didn't. You weren't here a couple weeks ago for my last sermon. How big is your God? Forget the little fluffy guy up here. He knows everything's going to happen to you, son. It's already been preordained.
Amen.
Preordained. And I can tell you, Vanessa, he's not going anywhere. You're not going anywhere. That young man isn't going anywhere until you all fulfill the destiny that God has established for you. The only other way is if you flat out refuse every opportunity to fulfill that destiny. Then you'll be swept, not swept aside, but you move out of the way so you don't interfere with God's plan.
When the thoughts come in, and you don't have any idea how many times I've had to fight. My God, 5 Marines killed today. Was my son amongst them? I wouldn't know for 3 to 4 days anyways. Immediately, no. If he's amongst them, then he's completed his mission. Thank you, Jesus. He's in glory. But I don't believe he's there yet. I don't believe he's there. It's a difficult thing for me to talk on with this because of the given situation. Because for those of you who don't know, our other one is slotted for February. So we have a vested interest in this message. When these thoughts come in, please remember, irregardless of what they are, you know, oh, I got a pain. I wonder if it's cancer. Oh, come on. Where does that thought come from? No one wakes up this morning and says, I'm going to think I have cancer. By golly, this is the way to go today. I'm going to have a ball. It comes from the enemy. You are not born to have cancer. You are born to be the temple of the Holy Spirit, the Most High God.
Amen.
And to edify God in your body, spirit, and mind. You have the mind of Christ.
Amen.
So when the thoughts of evil and garbage comes in, that is not Christ. That is the evil one. Because if you should line up with these thoughts, so it shall be. For what a man thinks, so he is. Another thing too. And I don't remember the scripture offhand, but in the witnesses of 2 to 3 witnesses, right?
Everything is
established. Now, when I got that a while back, many years, I looked up the word established. You know what that means? To make law over.
Yep.
When the enemy brings something to you that is
his way of trying to get you to line up. Because the minute you line up with it, that is two witnesses. He says this is for you. Now you're saying it's for you. Now it's established as spiritual law over you. Now you got a heck of a fight to go back the other direction. Because the one thing I will say is that the enemy is the world's best legalist. I can do this now because he or she gave me the okay, and you, Father, cannot stop it. Literally. A lot of examples. How many times have we seen people, just two months from now. I can't believe it's only 2 months away. They're going to be going down to CVS to stock up for the flu season. Every year I get the flu, and it seems to get worse every time. And what do? They get the flu every time. Now, am I saying that some people are not susceptible? I mean, I know that there's weaknesses in bodies. I'm not saying that anyone who gets sick is not of God. That's bogus. Because sometimes we open up doors that we don't even know about. There is such things as genetics, and we have to be aware of that, physical as well as spiritual genetics. You know, my side of the family, I told her, I said, I have to be careful because my father's side and my mother's side is alcoholics. My mother's side is loaded with diabetics. Now, does that mean I'm going to be an alcoholic or that I'm going to be a diabetic? No. But it does mean that I need to look out for those curses and be aware of them. So when I'm sitting down and I'm reading, and I even have my reading glasses on, and the page was blurry, what thought do you think hits me? There goes that diabetes. I'd lie to you if I said it didn't come in. Every time. You can't lose weight because you're diabetic. You know? What do you think I have to do every time that happens? Now, I'm not a diabetic. My genealogy is from Christ Jesus. The blood of Jesus flows through these veins. I am covered by the blood. I am made in his image. Unless he's a diabetic, forget it. I'm not giving in to those thoughts. Then afterwards, the replacement is I can see fine. I can breathe fine. Whatever the case is, and go through the emotions. Go get through the emotions and get on to the other side. 9 times out of 10, within a short time, it's gone. Resist the devil and what? I hear everyone say that. That's fine. And it's okay. I mean, there are certain things that even now, and I've shared with Mary, and I haven't gotten to you yet, that I'm watching in my body. If things do not change, I am going to seek medical attention to see what it is. Mary had bad news this week, and I'm not going to elaborate, but she was given a name for something over a family member. But I said, you have a name. Now that you have a name, what does the scripture say? What does it say, Mary?
You can speak to it by the power of the blood.
Every name must bow down to the name of Jesus.
You know, sometimes being told something is not a bad thing because it gives you the ammunition you need to fire back. Knowledge is, I don't care if the knowledge is good or bad. I mean, it may be a devastating thing to find out. But now you have something to work with. You know? And don't let the thought here go, oh my God, what are we going to do? We're going to be all cranked up. We're going to have to go this. We have to do this. We have to get everyone together to do this, that, that. And start planning. You let the other people who don't know do that. You go into your covenants. Lord, this is a situation. You already know what it is. You know my flood of emotions. Not that anyone ever has a flood of emotions. And they get bad news, right? No one here does. Are you having a flood of emotions right now going through what you're going through? Oh, no. Of course not. Just calm as a cucumber. Yeah. Horse manure.
Right on.
We hurt. We feel. We ache. It doesn't matter whether or not Mom's going to heaven. We know she's going to get there. And when we get there, she's going to look at me and say,
And what were you all upset about? You knew where I was going. I thought we raised you better than this, and I know you tried to raise me better than that. But the point is that we missed the body. We missed the communication. It's amazing how soon we forget all the arguments when we don't have the smiles. I'm starting to lose track, but that's okay. We'll be all right, and we'll go forward. But when the thoughts come in, we use the scriptures, no matter what. Get them in there. And if the Lord leads you to have to go see a doctor or somebody, do not listen. It's not a lack of faith to go see a doctor over something. Sometimes you need a name. And that's the bottom line. And for you two, the people in the faith, find a Bible that you can open up and read, and that you understand you're comfortable with. Read it. Start in the New Testament. You can do that a few times. Restart tackling into the Old Testament step. Huh? Because I still don't, huh? But you learn your New Testament, you'll learn about some amazing things, like just how much love there is for Christ for you. That if you were the only man on this earth that he had to die for, you would have done this. Period.
Amen.
Once you find out your value in Christ, someone comes up to you, you know, you're a meathead. Yeah, right. By the way, just let all of you know as a side note, because I usually can... You should have told Joe once through the whole thing, I have to do it. Archie Bunker was right.
There are meatheads.
We are all meatheads. You know why? The Bible confirms it. What did Paul say? Why are you so carnally minded? You look up carnal. Means meat. Carnally minded meatheads. No fake.
That's all I have, people. Do you have any questions?